This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by Gold Boys. Coming up on the show, Matt Grissom of NCAA Baseball Insiders will join us to talk, yes, some college baseball. I'm going to mix it up a little. I've done a lot of NBA, really pretty much all NBA for the most part, the last month or so with the playoffs going on. And it's, you know, one of those situations where don't do it much during the regular season at all. When you get the playoffs, especially when you get some good series, spend a lot of time on it. But these series are winding down. We're going to start to do some other things, mix in some other things. So we'll talk some college baseball tournament as it starts here on Friday. But the NBA, which I said is winding down, goes at least for another game here in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks with a very impressive wire-to-wire, soup-to-nuts, complete victory here where they just led throughout, scored first, led 10-3, led by 4 after 1, led by 11 after 2, and they just kept building on the lead, expanding the lead, 111-94 as they force a Game 6, and who knows, possibly a Game 7. Indiana is now laying 4 here for a Game number 6. I was surprised it's 4. 4 seems like a lot when you consider that the games in Indiana for 3 and 4 were 1 and then 2.5. I like the Knicks here. I think we're getting a 7th game. I think they were impressive here on a lot of different levels. Just complete, a complete game. The fact that India had 94 points and a lot of those were late in garbage time. They actually played really good defense, the best defense they've played all series. And I think what's encouraging, 8 of 29 from 3, they only shot 27% from 3. Now, India only shot 10 of 30, so it cancels out. But you can shoot 27% from 3, and you could still win the game by 15 points. That's a good sign. I think, again, these teams are dead even. I think that this was destined for 7 the whole way. Thought maybe, it might still be the case, that game 1 is just giving one away, where now you got to win 5 out of 7, and you almost have to win the series 5-2 because a win turned into a loss. I understand that, but just impressed with the Knicks. They used the bench a little bit. McBride gave them 18 minutes, Hart 34, Wright 10 minutes. Shamet gave them 14 really good minutes, 2 of 3 from the field. He hit a 3. He played outstanding defense. Brunson did his thing, an efficient 32 points, 12 of 18. Towns gave you his 10 of 20. He didn't look healthy. I couldn't tell, because he's putting up great numbers, 24 and 13, but he's grabbing at the knee, he's flexing with the knee. You know, even Bridges, 6 of 12, and we'll get to Bridges because, boy, if they lost the series and if they do lose this series, you're going to start to look back and say, wait, we gave up 5 first-rounders for Mikal Bridges, who never made an all-star team, and now we probably don't have enough assets to trade for Giannis or maybe Durant. Our all-in move was Mikal Bridges, but well, let's not go there yet. We don't need the Knicks funeral yet. The Knicks live to see a Saturday. And I mentioned Matt Grissom coming up with the college baseball. College baseball was about to be on center stage, because if the Knicks had won on Thursday, then we were looking at the NBA Finals not starting until next Thursday, June 5th. The NHL Stanley Cup Final doesn't start until Wednesday, and that's that. We were looking at a good week without NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs, a week gap between the two scenarios there. And college baseball would have been in the spotlight. I know we got Yankees-Dodgers this week. That's fun. I don't think, even if the Yankees win this series, I don't think that gives them the World Series from last year. I don't think that's how it works, unfortunately. The Yankees could win all these games 20-0. It's just going to make you more mad that where was this in October. But fun to see that, those two teams, those two lineups on the field. So we'll get to Matt here in a second talking some college baseball. But you know, this is just good for everybody. Unless you had Pacers tickets, unless you bet on the Pacers, this is good that we get a game Saturday night. Maybe we get a game Monday and we just have more going on here between now and the final. Nobody wants a week final. Nobody wants a week gap between now and the final. We already have one with it, with the NHL. We don't need one with the NBA. So, and plus throw in the fact that OKC is just going to steamroll whoever comes out of the East. So in a lot of ways, if the Pacers had won game 5 on Thursday, he could make the case the NBA season kind of ended there and ended with a whimper. I can't see whoever comes out of this series getting more than maybe a game. I think 2 would be a ton. I saw these projected series markets where if it's Indiana, Oklahoma City, you can bet on, you know, who's going to win and how many games. Oklahoma City to sweep was plus 320. I thought that was way, way too high. I think they've got a very good shot to sweep. Despite, look, they haven't played well on the road. They haven't covered a game on the road. I think they've got a very good chance here to sweep whoever comes out of the East. So in a lot of ways, this is just a mere formality here. Whoever comes out of the East, look, if you're the Knicks, you don't feel that way. You would love to go to the finals. You would sign up right now to get steamrolled in the finals. That means you're there. That means you won this conference. That would mean something. But this is really, really the JV circuit, and it's shaping up to be the JV circuit for some time to come with how dominant the West is and getting better. I mean, you got Jokic on Denver. You've got this OKC juggernaut. You've got Luka now on the Lakers, which will probably attract some players here down the road, especially in the post-LeBron era. He'll get another sidekick, a running mate. The Mavs get flagged. The Spurs got the second pick. Maybe they get Giannis to go with Webb and Yama. So the West is just so much better than the East. Tatum is not in the mix here with the Celtics being not a factor here going forward, at least for this year. So I don't know what it means to come out of the East, but hey, you're in the finals. You enjoy that for as short as it's going to be, whoever wins the series, especially Knicks haven't been there in 25 plus years and 26 years. The Pacers haven't been there in 25 years. So it will mean something to whoever gets there, but neither of these teams has a shot in hell to be holding up the trophy in a couple weeks. But again, that's a story for another day, a problem for another day. If you're the Knicks, you're just happy you see a game six and you're hopeful you can see a game seven. And if this did get to seven, I have a very hard time seeing Indy, who was up 3-1 with a chance to close it out in five and six. I'd have a very hard time if this goes to seven, seeing the Knicks not win the series, but got to get there first. I always like these scenarios where the team is the higher seed, but they trail 3-2, and game six are just filled with so much drama. We've seen some great games in this scenario. Kawhi with the Clippers against the Mavs a few years ago, LeBron, when he hadn't won a title yet, down 3-2 in Boston, one of the best games he ever played, where he was just incredible that night in 2012, forced the game seven, which they won. They went on to win the championship. So these are fun scenarios here when you've got the higher seed, the better team in theory, down 3-2 on the road for game six, and they lose, they're out. They win, it swings back their way where they get a home game seven. So I'm looking forward to it, and I do think the Knicks win game four. I'm surprised it's four. I would take the points, and I think we get a seventh game now. Pacers are minus 350 to win the series. So if you jumped in on Pacers or on Knicks and seven plus 400, you could actually scalp that right now and just lay the 350 and churn out a little bit of a profit if you're so inclined. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to roll with the Knicks. Hopefully they can force a deciding game, which I think would be on a Monday, which would give you Tuesday off, Wednesday off before a final. So boy, just to keep going back to it, OKC, especially if this goes seven, OKC is just going to be sitting there waiting to roll over who comes out of this. But for now, we go to a game six on a Saturday night. So that'll be a fun Saturday night. You get Yankees Dodgers at 7:15, Eastern Pacers Knicks is a night game. So a busy Saturday night, a lot of sports going on that night. Well, like I mentioned, Yankees, we'll do more Major League Baseball as these winter sports playoffs start to wind down. But Yankees have been impressive. They took care of business against the Angels. Bullpen's in decent shape. They're scoring runs. You look at the rest of the American League, it's just, boy, the Red Sox did not fire. That was a popular team. Texas can't hit. The Orioles are a mess. Do you really buy Tampa, Toronto? All right, Detroit's good. They've got Skubal, but do you really fear Detroit, especially once you get past Skubal? I do not. So American League is going to be interesting to watch this summer with how do you get to six teams here? Because a lot of these teams are just not very good. Maybe Seattle makes a little noise, but I do think the Yankees, and I'm shocked that I'm saying this. If you told me that Sunday night in December when we did the podcast, when Soto signed with the Mets, that I was going to be sitting here in late May, early June, saying the Yankees have a good shot to go back to the World Series, I said, you're out of your mind. But I think the Yankees have a good shot to go back to the World Series. So they will play the Dodgers starting on Friday. It is Fried laying $1.35 in LA against the Dodgers with Gonsolin going. Boys, you're going to lay $1.35 with the Yankees on the road. So you're getting the Dodgers at home with a plus price. I get the pitching advantage, but that would be Dodgers or nothing for me. So should be a fun weekend. Hopefully we are talking about a game seven on Monday, but coming up next, let's talk a little college baseball. Matt Grissom did a great job for us last year. Did a good job on the futures. He's going to break down all these regionals, the matchups, awards, all this stuff, our futures, all this stuff. So excited to talk to Matt. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back. Let's talk a little college baseball. It is time for the NCAA tournament. He is back. There is nobody better to discuss that than our buddy Matt Grissom, Grissom on X, NCAA Baseball Insiders, and the author of the VSiN College Baseball Regional Guide, which he did a fantastic job with. Matt, what's up, man? I'm sure this is your favorite time of the year, just about. How's it going? How excited are you?
It is. It gets to the point where when you've been staring at a computer and spreadsheets for 3 days straight, you're just kind of ready to talk college baseball instead of just look at the numbers. And that's where I'm at right now. So yeah, the guide is out. All the work is done so far. Now we just have to turn it into handicapping information and make some money.
We'll get to the regionals, we'll get to futures, we'll get to all this stuff. But I feel like with college baseball, you have your handful of diehards who just, year round, they know this stuff, they know all the teams. But there's a lot of people who are casuals who don't watch it maybe till the World Series, maybe till the regionals or the super regionals. What would you say is like an overview for this season? The best team, the most disappointing team, best player. How would you recap this here in just a couple of minutes?
So, I mean, for starters, that's exactly why I did the guide. Like, if you just stumbled on college baseball, wanted to pick up something and read it cover to cover, it's 24 pages long, but it's going to give you kind of an overlay of where exactly we're at, what teams are coming in hot. Yeah, you can look at the odds and say, okay, well, it's Arkansas, LSU, and then kind of like everybody else. So, how did we get here? From trends to last 10 games to all the advanced metrics, everything is in that guide. You get to see how each team shapes up in their own regional. Just a great resource, and it's something that I put together, started doing these guides just out of I needed something I can go to get all the information. I was tired of bouncing around between Warren Knoll and D1 Baseball trying to gather all this stuff. So I was like, hey, let's put it in one place. And all of a sudden, everybody else started to enjoy it too. So if you're just landing on college baseball, go get that. It's absolutely free. I think you can get it at vsin.com/CWS for the College World Series. It's absolutely free to download.
All right, let's start here. I'll give you the floor. Your favorite regional in terms of a betting option here.
Oh.
Take it wherever you want to go.
So I think Oxford is a really tough regional. You've got Ole Miss there at +105 on DraftKings to win that regional. Georgia Tech +180. They were the regular season champ in the ACC, and you could complain and say that they didn't deserve it. They didn't get to play all the best teams in the ACC. But when you do that, when you reach that sort of feat, you should get credit for it. I'm really surprised that they're not in the hosting category. If you saw the selection show in the video, you just saw a bunch of pissed off yellow jackets, which I don't know if you've seen My Girl, but you don't want to mess with those. You'll end up 6 feet deep. But that was a terrible joke. But you've also got Western Kentucky in there with the Hilltoppers. And this is a mid-major that was really good in the metrics all season long. We like to look at Sierra for pitching and weighted runs created for hitting. And Western Kentucky stayed in the top 25 pretty much all season long in both of those. Yeah, the strength of schedule is a little weak being a mid-major, but I think Ole Miss has their hands full, both with Georgia Tech and Western Kentucky, and then Murray State, who really is probably one of the best four seeds in the tournament. So I think Oxford Regional is going to get a little weird, and I wouldn't be surprised if a Western Kentucky +400 or Georgia Tech +180 comes out of that one.
One that jumped out to me just because the names and the odds, looking at Florida State, the Tallahassee Regional, you think Florida State, and then you see Northeastern, Mississippi State, Bethune-Cookman. It's weird to see Florida State minus $1.20 or so in Northeastern, tiny little Northeast school here in Massachusetts, only +240. That tells me this Northeastern team is good, really underrated maybe. Maybe the, not underrated by the market, but explain these odds to me. This regional, what are you looking at here in this Tallahassee regional? Is Northeastern a sleeper here to make a run?
Northeastern is on a, I think, 27 game win streak. There has not been a hotter team in college baseball. And they're doing it with both swinging the bat. They're 63rd in weighted runs created in the country. They have the number one ERA and expected ERA in the country. So they're not just having lucky outings. This is what they're expected to do. So anytime that you can have a really dominant pitching staff and go in to Tallahassee or wherever, pitching usually travels well. So I think the Huskies are going to be up for the task, and whoever comes out of that first game with Mississippi State, Northeastern, as long as they can save some of their arms, I think they'll be able to go toe to toe with Florida State. The thing about Florida State is, one, you're getting it at home. Two, you've got Link Jarrett, who's been here before. Chris Lemonis was fired from Mississippi State. Mississippi State looked like they were going to be missing the field entirely, and then really turned it on under the assistant head coach. But Mississippi State plus 250, Northeastern plus 275 on DraftKings. That's really just the odds makers telling you, okay, whichever one of these two teams wins this game one, they're going to have the best chance to go up against Florida State. I just with Florida State having a three-headed monster in their pitching rotation between Jamie Arnold, who everybody knows, Wes Mendez, and Joey Vellini, they're going to be tough to beat, especially being in Tallahassee. If there was a team that could do it, I actually think Northeastern's probably more talented, but can they do it against top-tier competition? And Mississippi State's got a good starting rotation. Their bats are so-so. But also, Northeastern, if you look at Northeastern's baseball stadium, they play on a half soccer field, half baseball stadium. The outfield is a soccer field. It's pretty wild. We'll see how that translates to Florida State Stadium here in Tallahassee.
Just looking at some of these other ones, I mean, obviously a lot of SEC teams. Athens, Georgia hosting a regional, Auburn hosting a regional, Texas is now an SEC team. They're hosting a regional, LSU. Anything in those four other than chalk where you could see somebody realistically winning as an underdog?
No, I think Arkansas, LSU, Texas, and Vanderbilt probably all advanced. They got pretty good regionals, I would say. LSU probably had the easiest one with Dallas Baptist and Rhode Island. Little Rock, who was below 500, it took a big run in their conference tournament to make it. Rhode Island's decent, but again, it's a mid-major. You're looking at, 220th in strength of schedule. Dallas Baptist, really good mid-major. I think they're probably the most legit one outside of Coastal Carolina who is actually hosting. But LSU has Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson. Dallas Baptist has not seen this type of talent from a pitching staff all season long. I think they're just going to be overwhelmed with it, and LSU is going to get through that. I wouldn't be surprised if so. Nathan Taylor for Cincinnati and Wake Forest is probably Matthew Dallas or Logan Lunsford, depending on who goes in this first game. Wake and Cincy, I think the winner, if it is Wake Forest, I think they can push Tennessee. Wake has not had the best season, but their metrics are still up there, and their pitching staff has been good for, gosh, now 3 or 4 years. I think Tennessee laying 250, I think it's just way too much. And then you go down to another SEC school who is minus 115 now, and they're not even the host against Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers are plus 115 at home in a Conway regional. Florida dealt with a ton of injuries all season long. Their metrics still stayed top 10 in Team Sierra, top 20 in team hitting and weighted runs created. This Florida team is dangerous. They opened, I think, plus 120 to win this regional, now down to minus 115. I think that the odds shift has told you that Florida is the best team to come out of this regional.
What individual games do you like, if any, here? I know some of the pitching matchup, there's some uncertainty there. Does that keep you away? Does that not keep you away? What are you looking at here in terms of these individual games?
So I think it's interesting because West Virginia minus 125 over Kentucky. West Virginia was a regular season Big 12 champ. They've got a pitcher, Griffin Kern, who is one of the best pitchers in the country in the Big 12. And Kentucky's just kind of there. I didn't know if they were going to make the field of 64. They ended up doing enough in the committee's eyes to make it. I think West Virginia is a far better team. I'd price this more at like West Virginia minus 160. Especially with Griffin Kern going, Kentucky doesn't have that dominant ace that's going to shut you down. So I really don't care who they're going to start. If West Virginia tries to get cute and hold their starter, though, their ace and Kern for the matchup or the potential matchup against the one seed, I think that's a mistake. So I'm going to go with my gut and assume that they're going to start their ace in Kern And minus 125 will be one of the cheapest prices you will have gotten him at all season long. There's another one in, trying to look at the odds right now. Oklahoma State versus Duke. Duke is the top Power Four conference team in weighted runs created. Oklahoma State, one of the best pitching staffs. So whether you like pitching or offense, this one is going to be a great one. Oklahoma State plus 105. If they're going to throw Matt, Harrison Bodendorf against Owen Proch for Duke, that's been Duke's ace, I guess, quote unquote. They don't really have one. They've relied on the offense. Oklahoma State has looked absolutely dominant over the back half of the season. I'm glad that they got in. They were a bubble team. I don't think it's a fluke. I think plus 105 on one of the best pitchers that we've seen out of the Big 12 and Harrison Bodendorf. Assuming he goes, I think that's a good plus money price to play.
If somebody had no futures coming into this and they just say, hey, I want to have some skin in the game, I want to have some action, someone to root for, the futures to win the whole thing, is there any value and where would it be?
Well, of course, DraftKings has taken off the futures boards right now. They do have teams to make the College World Series, which is a fun market. I think you look at North Carolina minus 110, they've got a very favorable path. They get through their regional, then they'll host Oregon in a regional, super regional, and then that Oregon team is plus 170. I think it's a coin flip either way. I think North Carolina is probably the most complete team. So minus 110, you're only tying up money on a futures ticket for a couple weeks, and then you'll know this is just to make the College World Series. So the top eight in Omaha, Florida plus 300, staring us in the face. If I think they can come out of that Conway regional, I think they would line up with Auburn in that Auburn regional. Auburn plus 135. Auburn is way too shaky, in my opinion. They've got Sam Dutton, who's their ace, and then Cade Fisher. Cade could go out and give you nine scoreless, or he could get blown up for six runs in the first inning. Who knows? LSU minus 115, though, probably a bargain. Sorry, I'm just going through these as I'm looking at them. I mean, Arkansas minus 160, if that's telling you that the shortest shot to win it all, they're going to make it to Omaha. Yet you can get LSU and North Carolina, the next two shortest shots at minus 115 and minus 110. I think you take that. And then Vanderbilt plus 120. They have a very easy regional. And then they'll line up against the 16 seed Southern Miss regional. Whether that be Alabama or Southern Miss come out of that, I think Vanderbilt, Tim Corbin's team, is a lock to get back there. So plus 120. I mean, there's a lot of value in betting these. And again, it's okay to bet them now because you're only tying them up through this weekend and then the next, and then you'll know who's in Omaha.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking here at a offshore site. BetOnline does have these up. Arkansas 4-1, the short shot as you mentioned. LSU 5-1, Vandy plus 750, Texas 8-1, Georgia 8-1, North Carolina 10-1, Tennessee 12-1, Auburn also 12-1. Then you get to Oregon and Florida in the 20-1 range. Clemson in Coastal Carolina 25-1. Any of those appeal to you? Or you want me to keep going, or any of those numbers jump out to you?
Georgia is probably about the only one that the pricing still doesn't make sense. You know, this time last week, Vanderbilt was 20-1, and now their odds have been cut basically two-thirds down to what they were. And I think that was a lot of speculation around Vandy, you know, winning the SEC tournament and then getting that number one seed. I'm not sure Texas is deserving of 8-1. I would stay away from that. They do have a very favorable path to Omaha. So the plus 145 bet is, in my opinion, better value than the 8-1. I don't think Texas has the horses to win. Jared Spencer going down their ace, that really set this team back. But then Georgia, the one, what'd you say, 14-1?
Georgia is in 9-1 range here.
Oh, 9-1. That's where they should be. They were 14-1 yesterday on I want to say on DraftKings or FanDuel.
Yeah, and again,
So definitely
shop around.
shop
I
around.
would,
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
this is one of the most volatile markets. I mean, you'll see teams from 1 week go from plus 3,000 to, and then they get cut to plus 700 just for, 'cause they won a big series. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Arkansas at one point, I think, was 12-1, and then they won several series and they lost one. Jeff Davis at Circa hung them plus 800 before the field of 64 was even announced. So for what they're plus 400 right now, that is absolutely insane. Because this at this point last year, you had the best two teams in the country. They were head and shoulders above everybody else in Tennessee and Texas A&M. We all knew that they were going to end up in the championship final, and they were both plus 900 going into the field of 64. And you're telling me that they think Arkansas and LSU are an even clearer cut 1-2? God, there's absolutely no way. Arkansas and LSU should both be plus 600 or higher.
What you mentioned Northeastern having this 27 game win streak, 75-1. Is that realistic? Is that a donation? Would you take a shot at that number? It's not long enough.
I mean, it's sexy to have the dog, right? Especially the one that's riding the hot streak. When you get to Omaha, it is a double elimination. You stay on your side of the bracket, but look at the other teams that they think are going to be in Omaha. You've got Arkansas, LSU, North Carolina, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Tennessee, maybe Texas, like Oregon. Northeastern has not faced the talent that these teams would bring. I think if Northeastern could get there, it would be an awesome story. Maybe bet the Northeastern to make the College World Series, but I don't think they can win it. They just don't have the horses to contend.
Last one or two here. If you were in charge of college baseball, commissioner, whatever, I know there's not a commissioner, promoting this, what would you do differently to promote it? I've always thought, put more games on TVs. They put too many of these on these apps or these services where you got to stream it or go anywhere. Like a lot of people probably feel this way. You know what? If it's on TV, maybe I'll watch it. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it. Do you have any ideas starting the season a different time? I know, as you're starting the season right around Valentine's Day, it's not a bad time of the year because the Super Bowl has ended. You've got that territory, but very quickly after that, it's conference championships in college basketball. March Madness overshadows everything, so that's an obstacle. I don't know. Do you have any ideas? Do you think they promote this well, this sport? Because it's a great sport once people start watching it.
Yeah, I think you double down on your early season tournaments. We're seeing it more and more where, like Arkansas, we were in Arlington playing at the Ranger Stadium. Ben Wilson actually did the broadcast on Flow Sports. This is a streaming service. You got to pay $29.99. They need to be throwing these conference or preseason games on the national networks. I think you would engage a lot of interest, especially early in the season, like you said, in that dead period, kind of before basketball really ramps up. You've got pretty much all the top teams traveling all across the country. There was a tournament in Las Vegas. There was a tournament in Austin. There was a tournament in Round Rock. Like, go put these on national television and build this hype. I mean, I was out there at the Las Vegas Aviators Park. Beautiful setting. You had Texas out there, Texas Tech. It just a great tournament atmosphere that in hindsight really doesn't mean anything, but it's a good little appetizer for the season to let people start picking their teams now that, like, okay, yeah, this team is one that I want to watch moving down the road. And then by the time you pick it up at this time of the year, you've got the field of 64. You've got squeeze play on ESPN. You've got these nationally televised. You've got to hype that up. And I feel like if you kind of give people an idea of what to expect throughout the season by giving them a taste in the preseason or the before conference season starts, I feel like it's going to take your product a lot further.
Last one here for people who are, casual college baseball fans, but they love Major League Baseball. Who are the few that if you're just, scouting for the draft or you want your team to pick a certain guy, who are the three, four players here to watch? Do we have a Skeens in this tournament? I know you mentioned Arnold, the lefty from Florida State. That pitcher's good. There's a couple really good left-handed pitchers. I think Doyle for Tennessee, but who are the three or four players here to really watch for you think are going to be stars in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, the pitchers are going to be Cade Anderson at LSU, Zach Root at Arkansas, Liam Doyle at Tennessee, Jamie Arnold at Florida State. These are all lefties, really hard throwing, good prospects. The bats, man, you have, like, in the years past, we've had JJ Weatherholt and Vance Honeycutt and all that, and we have those guys. They just have not been as prominent. Vahiva Aloy, the shortstop at Arkansas, He was SEC Player of the Year. He looks freaking unbelievable compared to what he was last year. Just a great shortstop, makes ESPN top plays. That's going to be a fun guy to watch throughout. I mean, you've just got so many players across the country that'll step up. But if you're landing on this and you love the MLB, then you will absolutely love watching squeeze play. It's like NFL Red Zone for college baseball. It'll jump around, show you all the highlights from each regional. You definitely need to check it out.
All right, Matt. Appreciate it, man. This is I know busy time of the year. I appreciate you making some time. Have you recovered? I know you're more a baseball guy than basketball guy. Have you recovered from the Arkansas Sweet 16 debacle collapse against Texas Tech? I still can't believe they blew that game.
Yeah, that was one of those hogs gonna hog moments where
Ugh.
you just kind of felt, we were playing with house money, right? We weren't supposed to even make it that far. We did. Unfortunately, that's where the road stopped. But I don't know. It's John Calipari, man. We'll figure it out and get back to
Yeah,
the Sweet 16 again. Hopefully not give it up.
and then Texas Tech turned around and they gagged it up the next game against Florida.
Yeah.
So it was a chain of events that was pretty crazy. Matt, we'll do
Yeah,
this again
isn't it
soon.
ironic?
Yeah, it really is. We'll do it again soon here because we got a lot of college baseball left. This is a exciting time of the year. So I'm sure we'll have you back on next couple weeks if you're around. Let everyone know where we can find your stuff.
Go download the guide at vsin.com/CWS. You can sign up for a free account and get it there, as well as College World Series Central on our website. You can go to collegebaseballinsiders.com. Follow us along at NCAA Insiders on X, and then I'm at Grissom on X.
Matt, appreciate the time, man. Good luck with all your plays. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Thank you to Matt Grissom. Appreciate him coming on. That was great to get all that information. Rate, review, subscribe, goldboys.com for the Discord. We will be back Monday. Well, we have a game seven to discuss. I guess we'll find out this weekend. Should be a fun sports weekend. See you Monday.